I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try and watch the rest.
Yes, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back. And this week, it's our holiday special where we're going to be talking about the Princess Switch, Romancing the Star. And now here is a man who brings holiday joy to everyone all year round. It's the great Chappelle. Chappelle, Merry Switchmas.
Rob, I told you not to do that. I specifically asked you not to do that.
I couldn't help it.
What is wrong with you?
I couldn't
You're
help
a monster.
It. Yes.
You're a monster. For the people listening to this on Overcast, take off the little the thing that it erases the gaps and just go listen to the pregnant pause that I just gave.
Very
Rob.
Pregnant. 9 month pregnant.
I asked pause. You, yeah, a long pregnancy there. Yeah, I'm here. I was happy, and now I'm disturbed. Merry Switchmas to you too, Rob.
Yes, all right. The Princess Switch 3. They said it wouldn't happen, but it's here. It's a Christmas miracle, and we're very excited to have a Christmas... the Princess Switch. I keep saying Christmas Switch. It's a Princess Switch. Princess Switch expert. Here is the great Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
Hi, I'm Kay. I'm so excited to be here. Chappelle refused to do it. Refused to like the
That's
minute.
Not what happened.
Wait,
oh
stop. No, wait. I'd like to just explain
Fine.
What happened. Okay. The minute Nothing But Netflix was
conceived.
A glimmer in your eyes, like yes. It hadn't even happened yet. I was talking to Chappelle on the phone, and I said, "There's a new
what
Princess
a
Switch coming out. We have to talk about it." And we're now here. I do think it's pretty funny, Rob. Chappelle and I came here to vibe, and you came in with a pre-planned bit. Just couldn't do it.
Like, yeah, like people in the comments are always
vibing.
Telling me like Chappelle and the guests just get along so well, but Rob just comes in with his type five and throws everything off.
He's just coming in with the stuff he wrote down to say.
What it's going to be so awkward when you try to read from your script and we're just on another level.
I know. Well, we're ready to talk about the Princess Switch 3. I have a lot of questions about the Princess Switch 1 and 2. So there will be spoilers of the full Princess Switch trilogy. So get out now if you don't want to be spoiled about everything going on with the Queen and Stacy and Fiona and everybody.
Yes, and I watched all three of them yesterday in preparation for this. And honestly, I could watch all three of them again today, and it would put me in a great mood. I did cry two times while I watched this trilogy. Not during the third one at all, don't worry.
Okay.
and yeah, I'm just so excited to be here. These movies are so unhinged, but in such a fun way, and I just love them.
Great. Well, I'm really looking forward to getting into the Princess Switch 3 here today. Chappelle, last week you and I, we talked about 20-somethings, Austin, which we really enjoyed, but boy, we were gooped this week.
Yeah, to my shock, the next day I get a text from one of our other guests, Asia Welch, and she's like, Asia's like, "Hey, did you know Jacob Jones is on this show?" And I was like, "There's no way Jacob Jones is on the show. I just watched the show." She's like, no, like, get to episode 6, and there's a Jacob Jones sighting." And I was like, "What a jerk. We talked about that podcast for like Jacob Jones like 5 times during that podcast. And, oh, Jacob Jones would be so good in here. They should have cast Jacob Jones." And the whole time, jerk face Jacob is just in New York knowing that he was on this exact show. We missed the big moment. Jacob Jones was on 20-somethings Austin. I am disgusted that he didn't tell us.
Have you watched ahead to the episode that he's on? I know new episodes dropped, right?
Yeah, I mean, so Jacob is on the episode where they're basically auditioning a new housemate. Like, they're trying to see who they're going to bring in. And he's just talking about doo-doo. And that's typical Jacob Jones content. So I just, you know, Jacob Jones is talking about feces. So I just turned it off. It was like, I've already got enough of that.
That's what's new.
Yeah. But shout out to Jacob Jones for, he'll never hear this, by the way, because he didn't even know we talked about the podcast. Such a flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there you go. Jacob Jones is in 20 somethings Austin. So if you're a listener to this, go check him out. He's in episode six. Well, he's in the preview at the end of episode six, but in the second batch of episodes, Jacob Jones is there. So yeah, tag him in whatever tweets, tell him he's horrible for not letting us know and for not coming on the podcast to give us his insight.
Yeah, find out if he hits it off with young Stephen Fishback and the whole rest of the crew over at 20 somethings Austin. And of course, you could listen to that episode when you subscribe to Nothing But Netflix. Go to robinswebsite.com/Netflix feed to make sure you're subscribed, and we appreciate your feedback and your star ratings, especially when it's good feedback.
Yes, we love good feedback. If Rob just steps his game up and just throws his notes away and kind of just, look, Rob is so rigid in the podcast world. Like, y'all don't know this, but he has like an outline. Kirsten, you understand. Like, Rob, he just.
Yeah, literally the way this morning I got sent a StreamYard link and a Google document that was color coded with like seven tabs being like, first we're going to talk about this.
You say this, like, then I say this.
I've never been on a scripted podcast before, but I guess that's what we do here on Nothing But
Jacob Jones has, right?
Yeah, Jacob Jones has experience with scripted content.
You never know, because it turns out he can honor an NDA.
Yeah, he would never tell anybody. But yeah, Rob, all of these pause for comedic effect in the notes, we don't really need that. Like, we get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, I was working on my fake laugh so that when Rob makes one of the jokes, I could be like, how's that? Is that a good fake laugh?
It's good.
Is that good? That was good. I practiced for a long time.
I told him not to say Mary Switchmas, but he just had to have it. So there you go.
It was written on the page. What is he supposed to do?
You're right. You're right.
It was line 7 on the document. Come on.
Classic Rob Sesternino.
Okay. All right, now please turn to the page 3, where we'll get into talking about the Princess Switch trilogy. Kirsten, could you tell us a little bit about what is the Princess Switch trilogy for anybody who is just pushing play automatically when they see Chappelle and Kirsten McInnes on a podcast?
Oh, I mean, I do believe those people exist, mostly for Chappelle. But so the Princess Switch, the original movie came out in 2018. And then we had the second one, Princess Switch 2, switched again in 2020. And Princess Switch 3 came out this year. Romancing the Star. The concept of the Princess Switch is that Vanessa Hudgens plays multiple main characters who look identical, and they have to switch places for various reasons. It always happens at the holidays. There's an actor named Robin Soans who's in all three in very minor roles. And the implication I thought was that he's supposed to be Santa. But when I looked it up on IMDb, they have him as like kindly man, elf man. So I don't really know what that is. But it's always shenanigans.
Always.
People fall in love. They have a great holiday season and you all have a good time. In the second princess, the first Princess Switch just had Stacey DeNovo, who is a baker from Chicago, and Lady Margaret from Genovia. I can't remember what country she's from. Sorry.
It's fake country. Relevant. Sorry.
Montanaro.
I'm thinking of Princess Diaries.
Anne Hathaway.
But in the second movie, the third Vanessa Hudgens comes in, the cousin Fiona. And so I really thought that the third Princess Switch was going to have a fourth Vanessa Hudgens, and it didn't. I'll live with it. It's going to be okay. But
I think a lot of people are upset about that. A lot of people felt like they were robbed of, there should be a fourth Vanessa Hudgens character.
Absolutely.
In Princess Switch 3. There always has to be one. It always has to be that the equation is Princess Switch plus one equals Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes. That's the math. The math is mathing. There's always like, in the first one, basically, Stacey DeNovo is there for a baking competition because she owns a bakery with her friend, her very attractive friend, Kevin. And Lady Margaret is there because she is supposed to marry Prince Edward, but she's never experienced this country. She doesn't know what it's like. She doesn't know what the people are like. So when she happens upon Stacy, and they look identical. She convinces her, we'll switch for a few days.
Yeah.
And I'll get to know the people. Don't worry, Prince Edward won't be there. But then Prince Edward's there the whole time, and that's where it gets a little messy. Yeah.
I mean, at its heart, I mean, the Princess Switch is really a swinger story, correct?
No.
No. It's no.
A little bit. It's a little bit husband swap, no?
They don't actually swap husbands. If this was a swinger movie, Chappelle would have wanted to talk about it 6 months ago and would have watched all three. Let's be honest.
I did not bring you here to be attacked. You've gone completely off Rob's script. Now look at us.
What's become of us?
Yeah. First of all, she's not wrong. But I think that, yeah, it does get a little confusing when you find out that the baker married the prince and became the princess while mm-hmm. The duchess married her best friend who was the baker's best friend who is now the king as she became the queen. And yeah. They have a daughter who is the new princess. I'm assuming that's her daughter. Is that like an adopted child? She's very old.
Yeah. That is, that's Kevin's original child. He was with someone before who left him. And so it made it really hard for him to love. It caused some complications.
Why did she leave him?
We never know. She's never in the movie.
Probably two sides to that story.
Right.
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does fall in love with a woman who looks identical to his best friend. I'm just saying, like, yeah. Maybe there were vibes there that he had eyes for this lady.
Yeah.
In the first one, there's a lot of his daughter being like, are you like, don't you like Stacy? Like, are you sure? But they can't be that good of friends.
I'm not even attracted to her.
Yes. Yeah. I'm 100 to 200% attracted, like to the
she's not even my type. Oh, who's this Lady Margaret?
Because what's great as well is in the first movie, like obviously Kevin and Stacy are not that good of friends because when they switch the first time, obviously now he's staying in like an Airbnb with the prince, like with the she's a duchess at the time, and his child. He does not realize that it is not Stacy, and the child instantly knows and is like, let's do our secret handshake then. And she can't do it. And it's like, okay, I'll keep your secret. Mm. But I know that you're not you.
Interesting.
So he couldn't even tell when they switched.
He doesn't know it. Yeah. Right.
Well, and that's a common theme throughout them. Like in the second one, there's a point where they switch again because Stacy wants to give Lady Margaret some time alone with Kevin so they can get back together because they had broken up between the first and second movie. And her husband, Prince Edward, comes and sits down next to her and asks for advice about his marriage to Stacy. To Stacy, who is dressed as Margaret. I'm like, you can't even tell that that's your wife? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Can I ask a question? So, there is no blood relation between Lady Margaret, Queen Maggie, and Stacy. They are not related at all. They just look exactly alike.
So the theory is that one of Lady Margaret's distant cousins, Cecil, had a relationship with an American, and they're probably distantly related.
Is this a fan theory?
No, it is in the first movie. They specifically talk about it because they look identical.
Okay. Chappelle, this plot is almost identical to another movie I watched recently when I watched It Takes Two with Kirsten's BoJack Horsepod co-host Lindsay Wilson.
Look, yeah, I don't think there's anytime we can make reference to Lindsay Wilson, I think we have to.
Twinning.
But you're definitely right. Like this is there's a line where this becomes It Takes Two if you insert one other parent, right? And so since we don't know, like we have no reason to believe that they're related except for this rumor about the cousin distantly, you know, all this Cecil. Other stuff. Like, yeah, so you can suspend that to watch The Princess Switch 3 and just assume that there's nothing there. But it's really hard when Vanessa Hudgens is playing every character in the movie.
Well, and after you talked about It Takes Two, you talked about how, oh, this is really like a Prince and the Pauper like story, and not enough people are doing that. And what did I text you, Rob? I said, The Princess Switch is a Prince and the Pauper story.
So that's...
I tried to convince him to watch it. He didn't want to.
No, Switch. You didn't. Stop lying, Chappelle. All you do is lie.
Eat hot chip and lie and charge my phone. That's it.
No, more like eat ribs. And lie.
Okay, so that's Princess Switch 1, basically. Yes. Princess Switch 2 probably could have been Princess Switch TOO if they really wanted to go there. But they do. Okay. The number 2 switched again. And then, Kristen, we incorporate a brand new antagonist to the Princess Switch universe.
Yes. So Fiona comes in and she is like the blonde one, and she's a little wild. And I like that they had to integrate a new hair color, because I feel like it was a little too easy that Stacy and Margaret had the pretty much the exact same hair. Stacy just had to get a haircut the first time. And she is very poor. She's a cousin of Lady Margaret's, and she calls her a Maggie Moo, is how she says it. Mm-hmm. And she is very poor. And so she hatches a plot to kidnap Lady Margaret the night of her coronation. She would get herself coronated as queen and take a lot of money and then escape into the night. But she gets caught at the exact right time because she accidentally kidnaps Stacy, who is switched with Margaret. So then they have Stacy kidnapped, Margaret's off with Kevin, Fiona is being Margaret, and then Margaret comes back and is like, okay, time to switch back. And she's just like, what are you talking about, Stacy? This isn't funny. Like, stop pretending to be me, and tries to get her arrested.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Chappelle, my question is, after now knowing everything about the Princess Switch trilogy, mm-hmm. is Vanessa Hudgens okay?
No. she's off her rocker. Look, the money is there. I think Netflix is like, look, we can do 5 to 10 of these things if you're down. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. And they just keep cutting out different co-stars and putting her in another role. So I think, yeah, by the end of this, it's going to be Vanessa Hudgens playing every last role, mm-hmm. like she's Eddie Murphy or something like that.
A one-woman show.
As it should be. She deserves. Like, I think, like, Vanessa Hudgens actually does a really good job acting in this, because she has to play every character, but then she has to play every character pretending to be another one. And the accents are just a little different to be like, oh yeah, Stacy can't do the accent quite as well. Like, I think it's actually incredible what she accomplishes here.
There are some subtleties there. I'll admit that. There's a moment in this movie, and not to jump too far ahead, but where they do the switch, and Vanessa Hudgens is playing Vanessa Hudgens, but she doesn't walk quite like the other Vanessa Hudgens. And so when they do the big reveal, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, introducing Vanessa Hudgens, and she walks out. And then they're like, introducing Vanessa Hudgens, and then she walks out. I'm like, well, she doesn't quite nail the walk, but I can see the Vanessa Hudgens isms in her. So right. Yeah, kudos to Vanessa Hudgens on playing Vanessa Hudgens as Vanessa Hudgens pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my notes say, by the way. It's just Vanessa Hudgens all throughout. I didn't specify which one.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I think what is a little confusing is that, so Princess Switch 3, really, they go all in on Fiona, mm-hmm. the blonde, poor
villainess.
Antagonist from the second movie.
See, my only problem here is I feel like they really try to be like, oh, but like, she's bad because she had a hard childhood. And I'm like, no, just let people be bad without a reason for it. It's so much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's Christmas. Yeah, it's Christmas. Know. People can't just be bad. Like, the Grinch's heart has to get big. You know, like, things have to happen. He can steal Christmas and then give the stuff back. We can steal the big ass star and then give it back. Like, things happen. This is Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle. Yay, we did it.
And Kirsten, you know, tell me if this is like just blasphemy in like for all of the Switchmas fans out there, but I think that Fiona is the best version of Vanessa Hudgens.
I think she's the most fun. Like, I think that's why, like, the first Princess Switch movie is like a cute holiday movie, but it's not really anything special. But the second one gets just a little bit more unhinged.
Yeah.
And then the third movie is a full-on heist movie with three Vanessa Hudgens.
Chappelle,
like, come on!
Fiona is a baddie.
Yes. This is Princess Switch 3 Red Notice.
Well, I was going to say the same exact thing. You beat me to it. That's my, I say that on page 9, Chappelle. Don't read ahead and take my joke.
I'm, I'm sorry. It was right there. But no, I agree.
No, can we explore that for a second about the Red Notice? Because
it's in the notes. We have to talk about
it. Yes. Because I'm like, what do you need to pay The Rock and Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot that you just have one Vanessa Hudgens and you have the whole triple cross?
Yeah, so we can do Gal Gadot just playing everybody's role next time. Like, she can be Ryan Reynolds and she can be The Rock next time.
Do we need Gal Gadot?
Okay, we can pick Ryan Reynolds being everybody. He can be Gal Gadot and he can be The Rock as well.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. I believe it.
But they can't pull it off. Only Vanessa Hudgens can play three roles.
Okay, well, I think Lindsay Lohan could do this. She's got experience.
Lilo was the original baddie. So yes, I agree.
Like, she did Parent Trap. Like, she knows how to be multiple people.
She did it when she was a child, you know. Yeah. So now, like, as an adult, she could probably be the whole family. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Cheaper by the Dozen, starring Lindsay Lohan as all 12 kids.
Yeah.
With Lindsay Lohan.
And Lindsay Lohan.
That's what the poster says. It's Vanessa Hudgens, Vanessa Hudgens, and Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, it really does.
Yes.
It's valid. But yeah, I don't think Fiona's the best one. I actually, what's the baker's name? Stacy?
Stacy, she's so basic.
But that's the thing. They centered the story around Fiona this time. But if you pay attention, Stacy's really pulling the weight behind the scenes. And I can't wait to talk about it. She's doing the work.
I mean, I'd love for you to elaborate.
Even like if you think about it, in a typical movie where it's Christmas and all is forgiven, like the people are just like, oh, but it's Christmas, like that person can get out of jail, it's fine. Stacy's still trying to get Fiona arrested by the end of this movie.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But in a normal movie, she would have been like, it's Christmas, it's fine. My queen sister cousin twin said that you're cool, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Stacy's like at the hearing, like, it'd be cool if y'all extended her sentencing a little bit more. Like, what if y'all tried her for other crimes too? I mean, so I really like that.
Yes.
She wasn't even in jail. She just had to like mop the floors for the nuns and she couldn't even do that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Stacey's like, have we considered jail? And I'm like, yes, Stacey, please. Like, to speak up, queen. So
I will say that was great. That was the best moment for Stacey, but that was really the only piece of business that Stacey had in the whole movie. And I feel like that she's really an afterthought here in Princess Switch 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big question is
her love story.
Yeah, but why couldn't she play the queen? Did I miss that part? Like, why did the queen have to go in playing Fiona? Why couldn't Stacy do it? Like, why would you put the queen in danger of like getting caught by Hunter and getting and disappearing because Hunter makes all his problems disappear?
Does Stacy know how to tango?
I don't think Stacy has like the same experience in high society.
She's just a baker.
It's also in the second one when Margaret catches Fiona dressed as her after Stacy was kidnapped. She is literally like, "Oh, your accent's gotten much better." Like they just kind of put little breadcrumbs to be like, oh, okay, yeah, Maggie and Fiona can be each other way better than Stacy can, because Stacy's from Chicago. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Stacy from the block. she can't live like this. She's from, you know, who else was in Chicago? Shameless.
That is true.
You know who else is named Fiona? The main character is Shameless.
Now imagine Shameless, but Vanessa Hudgens is playing every kid in the family.
All 6 kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She could do it.
Oh, she could do it.
The nuance she would bring to Liam would just bring me to my knees. I think I would like to see this.
I feel like she could really do Debbie justice. You know, I don't like Debbie, but I think I would if Vanessa Hudgens played her.
Okay, no spoilers. I'm almost done. I'm at season 10, y'all.
So I think I only watched 5 seasons of Shameless, so I don't know what happens. Maybe Debbie becomes likable.
Well, check out our coverage on Nothing But Netflix.
Kirsten, my last setup question is that why are these holiday movies?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but in the capitalist society we live in, you can really cash in on the holidays. People will watch anything if you make it holiday focused. Like, have you watched Single All the Way?
No.
Well, we were going to watch Single All the Way, but
Single All the Way is a quote unquote Christmas movie, I guess, but it truly was just the most boring rom-com I've ever watched in my life. And they put like a Christmas tree in it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's living for it. They're like, yes, the money.
It was on the docket, but somebody said they had to do Princess Switch 3. I mean, the people were clamoring for Sing All the Way, but we made certain allowances.
No, if you're going to do another Netflix Christmas movie next week, Love Hard has much more meat on the bone than Single All the Way.
Yeah, there's actually a Not to spoil this movie, but there's actually a huge blockbuster movie that just released in theaters starring Tom Holland that it might be a holiday movie as well, just because.
Oh,
I am not seeing that until Monday. And if you say one more word to me about Spider-Man, I will climb through my
computer. Who said Spider-Man? What is it? What said Spider-Man? Kirsten, please.
We know who Tom Holland is. Stop it.
Do we?
Yes.
How many parts
is
he playing?
Other things.
Yeah.
He plays at least two.
Two characters.
At least two. The Spider-Man Switch 2.
Oh my, well. That I would watch.
probably. Same.
Let's start to get into the plot of the Princess Switch 3, which, you know, we have set at the heart of, there's an international Christmas festival. Chappelle, I'm really glad that the international community has been able to come together and it seemingly can agree on the one issue of the celebration of Christmas.
Right. The Queen of Montanaro has decided with her baker turned sister princess daughter-in-law that they need to do a charitable event internationally to raise money for charity. Blank charity.
For not orphans.
Quite... Orphans.
Yes.
It's like always, every charity is for orphans in these movies. And the first movie, Stacey and Edward, like, get gifts for orphans. And the second movie, it's like a whole fundraiser. And then Fiona's like, I want to spend Christmas with the orphans, so I need to have my coronation tonight. And then she can't remember the name of the place with the orphans, and everyone keeps correcting her.
Right.
So it's definitely for orphans.
Yeah, well, for orphans at large, this was a charitable event because they don't really specify which orphans or how, but like for charity, you know? And so that's what gets the international community going, you know, just mention orphans and we all can come together as a society.
Yeah. Chappelle, and the Pope is involved.
Well, not the Pope.
He wasn't the Pope?
It was like somebody from the Vatican, somebody, a representative.
Oh, I thought that that was the Pope. Mm-mm.
No, it was a cardinal.
They just let the Pope like walk around?
The Pope don't just walk around. They sent a cardinal out
there.
He's a cardinal. It was Momoa. Cardinal Momoa was the one who went and did the legwork here.
Okay. Yeah, I thought he was the Pope. I was like,
Rob just thinks the Pope is out and about. No, the Pope has to be in their Pope mobile,
Poping it up.
Poping it up.
Yeah.
Poping down.
I know. That's bad on me because everything else is like very realistic in this film. And they do things like by the book, and I can't believe I missed it.
Honestly, if in like 5 to 10 years, some sealed government documents became available that were like, oh no, this was based on a true story, I would believe you. No question.
Yeah.
This could happen.
Okay. So a big part of the film is that there is a thing and it is called what is this? Hope Star? What is this?
It is the star of religion.
Peace. Yes. That's what I call Chappelle, the star of peace.
Stop it. That's definitely what I am.
He tells everyone to
protect their peace.
I am the star of peace, damn it. Peace or else.
Mm-hmm. Chappelle said, why would I choose silence when I could choose violence?
Mm-hmm. I might have said that, but I meant like peaceful violence, you know?
Mm-hmm. The star of peace.
Star of peace.
Mm-hmm. I'm the star of peace, and we have the goddess of RHAP here, I've seen on Twitter. So thank you, Kirsten, for gracing us with your presence.
Wow.
That is not in the script, Chappelle.
Hold on, Chappelle. Can we be confident that this is actually the real Kirsten McInnes and
not
a Kirsten McInnes impersonator?
That's definitely a Kirsten McInnes type, but which one is the question?
Which one? You know?
Ask me any question that Kirsten McInnes will know the answer to, and I'll prove that it's me.
What is your, how do you feel about thighs, Kirsten?
I hate thighs so much.
Oh, no, this is definitely not the Kirsten that I know. The Kirsten I know is a thigh enthusiast, if you will. Big on thighs. or big thighs.
You know what? You don't have to comment on my body, Shabazz.
I wasn't talking about your body, but okay.
Rob is like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, that's
Chappelle. You seem okay with it. I'll say nothing.
It checks out.
Yeah,
Chappelle and I might talk too much. Mm-hmm. That can probably be the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
The Star of Peace has been hijacked.
So they have the Star of Peace. This is a big deal. Vatican City does not often allow the Star of Peace out of their site, but they have loaned it for this Christmas festival fundraiser situation. And it's under heavy lock and key. And yet it goes missing and Interpol has no idea what happened. They saw nothing, like not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, these thieves are the best thieves that we've ever seen. Like, these are better than Ryan Reynolds thieves.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have completely erased the footage. They drug the guards using, like, whatever the poison is through the vents. So there's nobody even saw it. It's invisible. And then the person who is behind this has he might have the police on the inside as well. We don't know because all signs of misconduct are missing. It's just the star is gone and there was a break-in and we can't figure out why. We can't involve the police. We can't involve the temple guards or whatever they're called because we don't know. Involved? Yeah. What if they're on the inside helping out with this? And so it's a perfect crime, Rob.
It's a perfect crime. And then that Queen Margaret is like, well, there's only like somebody we knew who knew about the criminal underworld.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, Interpol has no clue, so they have to get their own.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to get Fiona out of jail for a Christmas reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she's not technically in jail. As Kirsten mentioned earlier, she's just doing community service because it's family. You can't let family go to jail. So she's just helping out the nuns, mopping the floor in high heels.
Listen, she has a very curated look of how she likes to be, and she will not compromise that for anything. Not like even in jail, like if she had to wear some sort of jumpsuit, you know that she would find some way to make that cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic Fiona.
Mm-hmm. Classic Fiona.
So is this a thing that if you commit a crime, do they send you to go live with nuns?
I think that if you are the queen's cousin and she puts in a good word for you, you can get that. I don't think that's available to everyone else.
Chappelle, this is a little bit like Game of Thrones when they take you to the tower and then the ladies yell, shame, shame.
Oh, man, I hated that lady. What was her name? Like Yanella or something like that? Oh, God, she was the worst. This is like old school punishment, Rob. Like even back in the Hamlet days.
Do they give her water?
50 to a nunnery. Yeah. You know, they're probably getting Fiona like real, like if she can wear heels, they're probably feeding her well. Okay. You know,
no, she's probably eating a lot of stew.
Ew.
Yeah, stew and pizza just in front of people. Just normal. This is the punishment. Like I said, Shakespearean times, they would even say, get thee to a nunnery. That's Hamlet's, his big moment. Yeah. So I think that, this is one of those things where it's like, it's not prison, but nuns suck sometimes. You know, everybody sucks sometimes, but nuns suck sometimes. So go there.
I mean, have you ever talked to like people like your parents' age who went to Catholic schools and they tell you stories about the nuns?
The nuns beat their ass.
Beating people up.
We like rulers.
Yeah. Yeah, those women are like, let me just hit a kid. That's the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, well, you're here with me now. I'm going to slap the shit out of you. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so maybe this wasn't the worst punishment. This was the worst punishment. Maybe it's worse than jail.
Well, the nuns seem to not really like Fiona and they seem like very eager to get rid of her.
Well, because she's not cleaning right. They have her there to be their like indentured servant to clean everything, and she can't even be bothered to mop. So they're like, well, if we get rid of her, maybe we can get a different criminal to clean everything for us.
Yeah.
She's more of a hassle than anything. It's like when you put a kid in detention, you put the kid in detention, but you're stuck there with the kid. And so you're like, please, God, come get him. Like, where's your mom? Please. Like, so it's like you're punishing the kid, but you're really punishing yourself in a way because you got to get stuck with them.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
and
is so that why I never had detention? Because the teachers just didn't want to be around me?
As a teacher, let me tell you, yes. Okay, it's kind of like, you're like, why does everybody else keep getting detention? No, you go home. You get the hell out of here.
Adds up. It really does add up. Mm-hmm.
So that the queen shows up and they are going to spring Fiona. The nuns are all too eager to get rid of her. And so Fiona is going to come back with them to the castle. And Kirsten, she comes with her like a goon squad.
Yes. So, first of all, though, very important to set up, she has to be back at the convent by December 26th because she has a review board hearing and she has to be there. That's an important plot point. But yes, she...
Wait, we missed Christmas in the movie?
Well, no, but that's... They don't end up missing Christmas. It gets moved up, remember?
Oh,
but
okay, moved up.
When she leaves, they're like, you have to be back December 26th. You have to be back. I guess they do not do Boxing Day over there. And... yeah, so she needs her squad. She couldn't do it without her squad. So Maggie also called the real jails and were like, can you let these two people out of jail?
Mm-hmm. Right. Just based off the strength that they're friends with Fiona. You know, like everyone here is a criminal. This one is my cousin. But could you let her friends out too? Because we kind of need them to go steal some stuff.
I mean, surely if you are the queen, you can pardon people, right? I'm assuming that's what happened.
Well, they were out. I hope they didn't get a real pardon. Like they got
a
leave of absence from jail.
No, I don't. I think they got out of prison because they then left the country. So if they're supposed to go back to jail, like that did not happen.
Yeah. Well, Fiona had to go back on December 26th. She was supposed to be there for her hearing. So I was like, how does her friends who are actually in real jail get a pardon and she still has to go sit in front of the nun?
Nuns are serious. Nuns are way more serious than actual jail.
Yes, that's true. And I like how even though Fiona's getting out of jail or coming to visit, like the family's like, okay, I guess we need to hide the silverware.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that was...
they steal stuff.
Yeah, that was the thing in the first movie that Fiona is in. So I guess the second Princess Switch, she like shows up to a family function and everyone's like, why were you here? I haven't seen you in literal years. And then when they get back to her house, she's like, okay, what did you all get? And her two little goons like drop all the things they stole, and they stole like a bunch of silver, a little bit of jewelry. Somehow the man, I think his name's Reggie, had gotten someone's top denture, and she's like, how did you get that? And he's like, nothing. And it's like, oh, that's not worth any money. Like, you just took that for fun, you freak. Like, not to kink shame, but like, I don't know about that guy.
Yeah, teeth play.
Are they popular characters, the goons, in the greater Princess Switch universe?
Now, I don't know what the greater Princess Switch community has to say.
If I go to Reddit r Princess Switch.
Wait, I wonder if there's a Princess Switch Reddit. Do you think there is?
I don't know. All those seven people are probably awake, though. So if you started messaging out, they might respond.
No, this is a very well-loved movie series, trilogy, okay? I love the goons. I think they're so funny. Like,
they're the comic relief.
They're useless, but they provide, you know, they know Fiona because they have been with her for years. They can see that she's got, you know, some feelings towards, what's his name? Okay. Yes, thank
not
you.
Peter. That's not his name. Peter is the friend, right? No, Peter. Yeah,
no, Peter. Yeah, Peter.
Yeah, Peter. Yeah.
Yeah,
they can tell. They're like, are you sure you're not interested? Like, they bring like that little element of pushing things forward. I think the girl goon Mindy is very cute and she always has really cute hair. And the second one, she had two like space buns and then the bottom, and it just looked so cute. Like, I like the goons, except for I still, again, I don't know about Reggie. The dentures, like, I don't know.
So just to update you, it does not appear that there is a Princess Switch subreddit, Kirsten. If you want it, I'm pretty sure that you can jump in and be the organizer of that. There is, however, a R. Vanessa Hudgens. There does not seem to be a lot of Princess Switch discussion there.
Yeah, I don't think I want to know what's happening on our Sasha Vanessa Hudgens, but you know,
more photos than discussion threads.
That was probably my theory. Here's the situation, okay? I don't want to have a Reddit. Reddit historically doesn't go well for me.
That's fair.
I like there's a thread in our movies about Princess Switch 3 and people being like, how much does she get paid? And it's like, you only get paid like 0.5 more to do additional roles.
What? A point like, by, like so she gets one so and a half salary?
To be two people. But then I think once she's three, she gets paid double salary.
Yeah, because it's another half.
But then someone's saying it's not a set stacking system because it doesn't have to go based on the scale. But at minimum, she would be getting paid double of one person to play all three of them. So I can see why she continues to do these movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I guess.
All right. Okay. So Fiona is in. And so that they are going to that. I guess that they have a ID on a guy who they think it might be. Chappelle, like they very quickly figure out who the number one suspect is.
Well, I thought they had to. So Fiona has a guy.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So she's like, listen, I know a person. He's the
Peter. Peter.
Yeah, I gotta go talk to my guy, Peter. Let me borrow a Ferrari that matches my shoes. I'm gonna go meet with Peter. And they're like, no, we'll drive you. Leave your hench people here. You got 20 minutes. Get in, get out, talk to Peter, and then come back with the intel or at least some assistance on how we're gonna get this done. And that's where she finds Peter in this lavish man cave shooting basketball in like an arcade room. Peter's very well off, apparently.
Yeah, so Peter... they've known each other since boarding school.
Yeah.
And so obviously he comes from money as well, which you can never, you know, neglect to think about that generational wealth. But he, I guess, worked for Interpol for a long time before he had to leave under mysterious circumstances. And now he has a private security firm. So he is raking in money.
But most of all, he's just out here simping for Fiona.
Okay. The chemistry is palpable. You can feel it. This movie does a really good job. Like, there's things in this movie that you probably can't believe, but this is believable. They hit you over the head with this one. I was rooting for them within 3 seconds of seeing them talk. Yep. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, this is the one true pair here. Like, I don't really care about the other people in these relationships. The queen, the princess, the husband, the best friend, the baker, the popper, the prince. Like, give me Fiona. Maker. Exactly. Yeah. Give me Fiona and Peter. Give me the spinoff. Give me the series, the video game. I want it all.
Yeah. So I had never seen Remy high in anything before, I don't think.
He was high in this?
No, that's last. Oh. Come on, Rob. Like, okay, you're not even trying with the joke now.
Sorry.
It was in the script.
But this man is so attractive, and it really does make it more fun to watch the movie.
Yeah,
like you have like a morally gray hottie. I'm in. Like I am all in.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carson, were you troubled at all by the fact that Peter seemed to have, while he was, madly in love with Fiona after all these years, maintain a relationship with her mom and was at least like talking to her mom, texting, having all sorts of conversations. That's not at all a red flag.
I mean, okay. Yeah, that's probably a red flag. But again, I would like to direct you to Remy High's Instagram and the plethora of shirtless pictures, and I can overlook it. Mm-hmm.
Well, not to make this another Spider-Man reference, but he was in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want a little bit more Remy High, there are other things that he did.
It's not Remy Thigh, is it? I literally said...
No. Remy Thighs. Dick. That's why Kirsten went to the Instagram.
I'm never going to recover. Like, I need every podcast I've ever been on to be wiped from the internet because God forbid I like meet a person in my life and then they're like, oh, I'm going to go Google this girl and all this content is there.
I think
and
then it shows up in a Google search.
Not yet. Every not time. Yet. No, Rob, everything I do on main feed RHAP, I get that Google alert. You've shown up in a search.
Sure, but it does have a transcript of the podcast.
Yeah, but
like a year away or something.
People listen to those things, okay? I feel like I just am walking a very fine line between everyone in my real life finding out what I'm up to on the internet, and I am not ready for that day. Mm-hmm. I'm being too Kirsten McGinnis.
Then you switch.
Oh, yeah. God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this couple right here caught my attention. I was like, okay, you know, we're rooting for them, even though it doesn't seem like it. And the red flag, you know, with him keeping in touch with his mom, I mean, with her mom. I mean, a lot. I've had experiences with that before where an ex will be like, oh, yeah, I talked to your mom the other day. And I'll be like, what is wrong with you? Why are you like this?
Yeah,
I've never dated Chappelle. I'm not his ex or anything. But like, I would like to talk to his mom.
I would love to talk to my mom.
I'd love to have a conversation. She looks like really fun.
She looks like me.
Well, yeah. Is she a 7 really as well, fun. Chappelle?
No, she's a 3. She's
crazy. Oh, that's the other thing too, is I do feel like all of the 3 Vanessa Hudgens do have very specific like traits, like Enneagram traits. Like,
okay,
I feel like
Fiona, what are the Enneagrams and are they in a triangle?
Like, I feel like Fiona is a 7, 100%.
Okay.
9.
Stacey is a 1. She's a clear 1. Her whole plot in the first movie is everything has to be done in a way, and there is a schedule, and there is a plan, and you follow the plan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Margaret is where I'm like a little bit more unsure and would want Chappelle's help, because she is all about like duty and honor and like doing the right thing, but also just like wants to be normal, but she has like a greater purpose.
Probably a raggedy 6, you know.
Classic raggedy 6s.
Raggedy 6s. Yeah, probably that. They're dutiful people. But I picked up on that too. I was like, oh, these, at least they're all different types. Yeah. You know, I don't know if they would bring in a 4th Vanessa Hudgens at one point, but it's going to be difficult to make sure they all have their own little lanes. And so I
want an Enneagram
that.
8. I want Vanessa Hudgens as an 8. Give it to me. Netflix, take my money.
Yeah.
Take my money.
You have to wait for Princess Switch 4.
I use my sister's Netflix, so I actually give Netflix no money at all.
No money. I've heard they don't deserve it. You know?
That's what I heard. Yeah,
that's what I heard. So I was going to ask, so is this the first time we ever meet Peter?
Yes, Peter has been in none of the other movies. We have not seen him. We do. Frank is the one who drives her there. Is it Frank?
Yeah.
Frank drives her. And so Frank has been in all of them. And he has a very funny recurring role where he just like, he really thinks he's a badass. Like in the second movie, they're driving to save Stacy and he like takes his hands off. This is a good thing. These are registered weapons, like with his fist. Like he makes those kinds of little jokes all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to cue that up as well.
I mean, he says to her when he rescues, I guess it was the
Margaret.
Queen Maggie at that point, that he says, get in the car if you want to live.
Yeah, come with me if you want to live.
Yeah,
he goes Terminator on her. Mm-hmm. I like Frank throughout because he just seems like he's one of the, like, you can tell he's ride or die, you know, and so I like him. Hopefully we get more content in the next 5 or 6 Princess Switches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From your lips to Netflix corporate's ears, seriously.
So, Kirsten, that they basically feel like that they have a lead on this guy, Hunter Conrad, mm-hmm. and he is going to walk his dog, and they feel like that maybe Fiona can catch this guy's attention if she walks like a giant dog.
Yeah, so Fiona has a history with Hunter, so thankfully he is one of the very few people who would have access to the supplier for the weird drug that made people unconscious. And so they're like, okay, well, you'll meet up with him at the dog park. He walks his dog every day at this time. And this is when we can, you know, set the trap. But it does not go according to plan, because again, this was like the biggest dog and like the worst leashed trained dog I've ever seen in my life.
Why'd they have to give Fiona such a big dog?
Well, because poodles don't grow on trees. There's no such thing as a poodle tree. That's what he says. He's like,
yeah,
where was I supposed to get a smaller dog? What, do you just have small dogs at your disposal, Rob? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The queen of the... Is she queen or princess, Kirsten?
She's queen. She is the queen.
So the queen of this, like...
Genovia.
Genovia. Shut up. Like, can't find access to any dog?
Not at that short notice. You know, they needed it, and they still have to keep this under wraps. Like, they can't let people in on the scheme, so they had to use Reggie, the henchman, his connection, and it got, like, this big... Was it a Dalmatian? It was a huge dog.
That dog was at least part Great Dane. That was a huge dog. Yeah, I think it was a Great Dane. And, like, there's nothing... I love Great Dane. Great Danes are actually, like, such sweet, chill dogs. They're actually great apartment dogs, because they just like to lay down most of the time, much like myself. But this one was not leash trained and just out of control, following like wild animals in the park, and dragged Fiona like literally through a hedge in some of the best physical comedy I've seen in a long time.
Wow.
It was physical comedy.
When she smashes into the hedge, I laughed. Did you not laugh?
Good.
Yeah, it's fine. Plan B is that she has to freshen up and meet Hunter at his hotel, because Hunter is a hotel tycoon, and he's every year he has like these huge parties, not dissimilar to the Eyes Wide Shut party we talked about in Red Notice. Mm-hmm. But before that, they have their the Christmas decoration unveiling at one of his hotels, and so she has to go there to catch his attention.
Yeah,
and I'll point out that Fiona has a history with him and Peter, and I'll say both of them are kind of palpable, because Hunter is picking up on all the feels the moment he sees her too. Like, he's like, hey, where's that Peter guy? Doesn't he suck? Are y'all still friends? Because I hate him. And I like the interaction between the two of them.
Yeah,
I think there was some overlap in the Peter Hunter relationships in the past. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like, listen, Fiona said she made an impression. She's obviously got something going on that the boys cannot forget about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the combination to his safe is her birthday.
Yeah.
I think that's even more simp behavior. Like, you're saying Peter's a simp. I think Hunter is more of a simp.
Did they both be?
Yeah, but like, yeah. I think on the scale of symptom, it is Hunter's further than Peter.
It's true.
If you maintain a relationship with a mom of a woman that you are not dating, simping. or that your safe combination is said woman's birthday.
Yeah, but I think if you've been someone's childhood best friend, it is understandable that you might have a relationship with their mom. Yeah. Whereas there is no reason to have your combination to anything be an ex's birthday. Like, that is psycho simp behavior.
Settle this. Which is worse?
That combination is worse.
Combination is worse.
We never even get the fact that it was a relationship. Like, Fiona says, oh yeah, we had a steamy. I said, a steamy? That's it?
Just a steamy?
Yeah. She wasn't like, we had a relationship, we dated for several years, we were going to get married. She was like, nah, it was a steamy, and that's it. And so if a steamy leads you to making somebody their birthday your safe combination, it had to be steamy as hell, and I want parts.
Listen, she knows what she's doing.
And I would like to see it.
Chappelle, did you think that it was at all weird, the whole scene with like Santa Claus at this place, at this hotel? It was sort of like that you sort of like take your picture with like Santa Claus and like a bunch of like Christmas models.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on
Santa
here?
Santa Claus, a couple of the elves or Christmas helpers, and then Fiona all sitting on his lap. Santa was winning, living his best life.
Santa's a freak.
Santa gets down, and Hunter noticed from far away. Fiona has a talent for making normal things very sensual and alluring.
She's blonde and she wears red. What else do you need to do? Okay,
all it takes.
But yeah. Like, I want to drill down on this Santa situation, because I do think there is an argument to be made that Santa is a certified freak. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Mm-hmm. He knows when you've been naughty. He wants to know.
Yeah, he has a naughty list.
He don't have a nice list. He has a naughty list. You know, you don't keep up with the nice ones, but the naughty ones, you got to write them down for later so you can check in on them later.
It's true.
All right, Santa.
At night when they're asleep.
Yeah. And Rob, you were the one who exposed Santa for that. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. Like, weren't you the one who blew the lid on that? Like, Nicole, as nice as it sounds.
Well, Nicole and I got into a debate about it where that, you know, I always thought that mom like was literally like having an affair with Santa Claus. Nicole says, no, like the dad was dressed up as Santa Claus. And then that's why she was kissing him. I don't know. Who's to say?
I just think Nicole doesn't have enough Christmas spirit. Obviously, she doesn't understand that Santa is real. And so, obviously, if you see your mom kissing Santa, that's the real Santa.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he's a freak. And your mom.
And he kisses every mom on the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Santa might have mono.
Christmas Eve is a super spreader event.
Yeah, he doesn't wear a mask. Yeah.
He does not. Maybe this year. Maybe this year.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Okay. So, also Fiona drinks a lot of candy cane martinis. Kirsten, have you ever had a candy cane martini?
I believe that candy cane martinis were the drink that my dad's girlfriend made for Christmas last year. And truly one of the most heinous experiences of my life. That is not good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, you want to drink nail polish remover, but let's make sure it's red for Christmas. Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we do have a candy cane martini, but I think it's just called Scope.
What are the ingredients in a candy cane martini?
I have it open. So it's candy cane crushed for garnish. Okay. It's 2 ounces strawberry vodka, 4 dashes white cream de menthe, cranberry juice, and ice cubes.
You can you can use grenadine or Chambord.
Yep.
Okay.
Chambord is good.
I mean, I'm a fan of a good seasonal holiday drink. You know, we're only a few months removed from me and my candy corn mimosas, and they were delicious.
Disgusting.
So they were
candy
delicious.
Candy corn martini?
I would try it.
Here's the thing. I was about to suggest the perfect seasonal drink to Chappelle, but I know he's allergic to tequila. But for all who partake at the holiday time, when you do your tequila shot, what you should do is have cinnamon and an orange slice instead of salt and a lime with your tequila shot. And it's like a little Christmas treat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll try it. I'll still do it. I might die, but I'll try it.
Well, I don't want you to die.
Okay. Well, I'll do Benadryl as well. Like, we'll just throw
it. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That'll be the garnish.
The garnish.
Yeah.
First Benadryl for garnish.
So Fiona, she has a meeting with Hunter. Does she get any actionable info from him? She gets invited to his party, right?
Yeah, and that was the goal. They need to get into his mansion because that is where they think the Star of Peace is. So she went a little bit off book. That was not the exact plan, but she used her past relationship with him to orchestrate the meeting. She said she wants to sell her family estate to be used as a boutique hotel.
Okay.
Yeah. Although none of that really matters because Hunter's simping. Like, she just had to walk into the room and he was going to fall all over her. Like,
well, have you seen how she sways her hips? He walks in.
Swayer, yeah. And Peter picks up on this because Peter's like, the plan should not have worked. You did not. You went off script. You did your own thing. You started talking about your estate. That's not what we rehearsed. How did we end up here?
Yeah, it's like this podcast.
Because that Hunter guy still wants you. Yeah. Rob, we're going off script. Rob, none of Rob's jokes are landing because me and Kirsten won't do the setups that he gave us.
Yeah, well,
we're just trying to
just
vibe.
Because you were funny. You didn't say what was on the paper.
I'm just saying. But I think what it comes down to is that Peter picks up that Hunter is over the moon for her still. And Fiona is now picking up that Peter is jealous, and you don't get jealous if there's no feelings involved.
Well, and Hunter specifically asks about Peter, and I don't remember the specific line Fiona says, but she's basically like, ugh, that musty guy? No.
Ashy over there? Never.
Not
Bob Brokey. Yeah.
No, yeah. I think Peter is rich. He can afford some cocoa butter.
Okay. So Peter and Fiona, they're talking and they have a flashback. And we go back to this time when Peter was sitting out on the bench and watched Fiona, that she wanted her mom to stay for Christmas, but her mom had to go. Kirsten,
she's playing to catch.
Yeah, she's playing to catch.
Fiona's mom said, catch flights, not feelings.
Peace.
Even for your own child.
Mm-hmm.
Points were made. Just saying. Don't let these kids stifle your growth.
What was this? Is this like a boarding school or something?
Yeah, so this is the boarding school where Fiona and Peter went to school when they were growing up. It seems like it's the place where rich parents dump their kids and don't think about them for 8 to 10 months. That's what I got from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Except for most of them get to go home for Christmas.
Right. I'm saying, was she all the time there? Because it seemed like that's where her... And I know she's not harboring these feelings for her mom because of one Christmas, right? Like, just has to be a recurring thing.
Yeah, I'm assuming that this happened every single year at school. And then in the summer, she was probably sent to, like, camps. Like, summer camps. Mm-hmm. Never actually spent much time at her actual home.
Okay. So, all right. Peter has this whole system. We're going to outline everything of so now Peter knows everything that Hunter has in his security system. And so they are going to come up with a plan to be able to break in and steal the Star of Peace back.
That's right.
Okay. And we see Fiona with her crew. And the crew seems to think that Fiona is catching feelings for Peter. They call her a smitten kitten, Kirsten.
And she is.
They said there's some flirty dirty going on.
I was like, flirty dirty. Flirty dirty.
Okay.
Okay, flirty dirty. I also just would like to say, I've just noticed the actor Will Kemp, who plays Hunter, he was in Step Up to the Streets.
Wow.
And it makes sense because I think Hunter's for the streets.
Oh.
Hunter for everybody.
Will Kemp.
Yeah. Was he the main character? He was
No.
Okay.
Step Up to the Streets still had Channing Tatum in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
He would play Blake Collins.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but he probably was dancing.
He was probably like the enemy on like a different dance team.
Okay, that's coming up next on Nothing But Netflix, the Step Up trilogy. We won't go any further than Step Up 3, because I think there were like 8 more of those too.
Yeah, I don't know. You can't go past the third one. Okay. Where it jumped the shark.
Step Up Tokyo Drift will be the last one we explore.
This movie has a lot of lasers that our heroes have to navigate. Chappelle, were you interested in watching our characters practice climbing through the lasers?
I always like in heist movies where they show us like how you prepare for the heist. You know, like the actual heist part is cool, but I do like to see that you actually put some work into it, did your homework. And so this was no different for me. Reggie says that he's double jointed. So he's like, I can get through these lasers.
He can't.
So I was like, I would like to see it. And he cannot.
Yeah.
But Peter is like a pro at this. So, you know, I think because he has a security system that he just practices laser grids in his in his spare time. So he just kind of break dances his way through it. Reggie, of course, trips the laser and they have to start all the way over. But Fiona, the queen of sensuality, she just kind of like stripper dances her way through it. I mean, backward split, upside down, handstand.
This was good.
The sexual tension between Fiona and those lasers.
Yes.
Right.
After this scene, I actually changed my iPhone passcode to Vanessa Hudgens' birthday.
Listen, it's supposed to happen at that point.
And now I spend all my time on r/Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay, you know what? Some points were made. Like, I would probably simp for Vanessa Hudgens, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
The best acting she does when she's flirting with this man. Because
yes, and when she, like, he has to like hold her real close, and it's like, oh my god, what's going to happen? And then he flips her over, and she gets over the last laser, and you're like, oh, I need a glass of water. Yeah.
How was he not the love interest in the first movie? You would think that they would have been pulled him out of the out of.
Fiona's like, not even in the first movie.
They needed him for Fiona. Yeah, because the thing too is Prince Edward is so bland. Lame. Like, he is one of the most bland, like, male, like, it's mm-hmm. so wild that he's, like, the first love interest, and it's literally, like, Stacey falls in love with him because he, like, listens to what she has to say, because truly the bar for men is in hell, and they still manage to slide underneath it, like, the limbo skills, but Prince Edward
to get through the laser
over that, yeah. that line by listening to Stacey, and that's why they fell in love. So yeah, he's bland. Kevin is less bland, but he gets all in his own head, and it's just sad. And he's a lot of baggage and abandonment issues from his first wife.
He's very boring also. And then he has to, like, leave, like, during the movie. Like, Kevin, what do you have going on? We're, like, we're making Princess Switch 3 right now.
His daughter from the airport, because there was issues with the flights.
It was an 8-hour drive, and yeah. he's only the king, so I'm sure he couldn't send anybody else. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't think he would technically be the king. I think he would be, like, the consort of the queen. Like, she's still, like, head bitch in charge.
He ain't got no people that could go pick up his daughter, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, it's Christmas. Precious and he wants cargo. To see his daughter. I don't know. But, like, yeah. he, even in the second movie, like, where he is yeah. presumably, like, the lead, he's still, like, the second yeah. most charismatic one, because there's, like, an evil man who's, like, trying to, ooh. You know, get into the government with Margaret so that he can, like, take advantage and, like, make money. That's what he cares about. And even he was, like, more compelling. But Peter, on the other hand, Peter's got it going on.
Yeah. Chappelle, I'm no security system designer, but I feel like that they're so close to perfecting this laser security system. Why let there be enough room for contortionists to get through? Why don't we go all lasers?
Oh, like just like lasers in every square inch of the room, right? Yes. Except for the one yes. thing that we're blocking.
Yes.
That's a good point. I have feel like no
we're
clue.
So close.
I just feel yeah. like Rob hates heists, and I don't know what to do with that no, information. No,
I've watched two Netflix heist movies in the last month.
He's fed up.
Like, I want you to be honest with me. This is a better heist movie than Red Notice, isn't it?
Better than Red Notice.
Is it better than Red Notice?
I think it's better than know. Red Notice.
Red Notice did have Ed Sheeran.
I would never watch Red Notice, and I've watched this movie twice. That's all I'm saying.
You've watched other questionable things more than one time as well.
Like what? Like what?
How many times have you seen Legally Blonde the musical?
I'm sorry. You're trying to say that Legally Blonde the musical is questionable content? All that does is make me question your character and your taste, because Legally Blonde the musical is a friggin' work of art, and everyone should watch it. The MTV filmed it, and the full version is on YouTube, and it is incredible. How dare you, Chappelle? You will be getting a tweet from Matt Gagan about this, I assure you. I assure you.
Count your fucking days, Chappelle.
Time's up. Chappelle o'clock is over.
Canceled. Damn.
So Peter and Fiona are going to go on a date after the lasers. They go to what? Some sort of like outdoor mall, Kirsten? What the hell was this place?
I think it was like a Christmas market.
Market?
Christmas specific market.
Well, yeah, have you never gone to like a Christmas market?
No, really. Like what is this? Like they just pop up at Christmas time? Like they're not regular markets and it just happens yeah, to be?
Yeah, now that I say it, a Christmas market is definitely there. White people shit. Sorry, Chappelle. but it's like normally like they'll take over a venue or a space and they'll be like different booths selling different kinds of like holiday goods, and there'll always be like a little fair trade booth, and you can get like a nice mulled wine, and like maybe there'll be like a skating rink there, and like you do your holiday shenanigans.
Yeah,
why it's pretty cute. Yeah.
It's precious. Yeah. I like there's probably a lot of gingerbread there.
Yes.
Yeah, but this was weird to me because all it took was for them to basically do that laser grid flirtation. And Peter was like, we need to go on a date now.
Yeah.
Like within five minutes, he was like, bring the helicopter. We're going ice skating.
You don't agree? You wouldn't want to have a date with her right after that?
Yeah.
I mean, she just, I'm just letting you know her impact was wild. Like, he didn't even drive. He's like, bring the helicopter.
She bring in the chopper. An impression. She yeah. leaves an impression. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. She understands the assignment, Chappelle.
Understood. Mm-hmm. Definitely understood.
Yeah. But she can't ice skate, Kirsten. I didn't find that believable.
I mean, not everyone can ice skate.
Yeah, I can't.
And you can't?
I mean, I could like, I could put the skates on and like walk like an idiot, like on the ice.
Well, that's your first mistake. Don't walk on the ice.
Yeah.
See, this is actually not to talk about Big Brother on nothing but Netflix, but this is my theory is that they don't do the slip and slide challenge on Big Brother Canada because we'd all be too good at it because we go ice skating and we know how to like do the motion on the slip and slide. Like I used to go skating every Sunday for like 3 to 4 hours as a child all winter long. And I just know if you put me in the slip and slide competition, like I might fall a few times, but I just know I'd be able to just glide right down that slip and slide.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I skate often, but I could survive. I wouldn't die. I'll put it like that.
So Queen Maggie, her husband is leaving. She's going to be alone. He's got stuff to do.
I mean, you're making it seem like he's leaving her. He's just going to the airport to pick up his daughter for Christmas.
Yeah, but he's like gone the whole rest of the movie.
Because she's in
an eight-hour drive.
She's in like a fancy ballet academy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that was the whole ballet thing too. In the first movie, the reason why Stacey agrees to switch is because she gets Lady Margaret to agree to sponsor Olivia to go to a very exclusive ballet camp that Kevin could never afford. So that's like she does the whole thing for Olivia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's an 8-hour drive. The airport is closed, so he has to go pick her up. And so he'll be gone for a day and a half, you know, so. You know, we're just getting him out of the way because we have more interesting characters.
He really he really doesn't have much to offer except for like when he takes off his shirt and you're like, oh, that's why you're here.
Hey, what are you going to do?
He's got the body, yaddy, yaddy.
Mm-hmm. What else does she need? She's the queen.
Well, and
she needs a provider.
Please. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is like she falls in love with Kevin and Stacey falls in love with Edward over the course of like 3 days, which is very unrealistic. But you know,
it's
how
Christmas these are.
Yeah, Christmas. You could just fall in love at Christmas.
Yeah.
Perfect time of year.
All right. So Queen Maggie, she is telling the Cardinal they're going to get the Star of Peace back. Don't even worry about it as the whole crew is practicing the heist, but they realize to pull this off, they're going to need Fiona on the team with the lasers. That means we need a Fiona who's going to go and meet with Hunter.
They need to have two Fionas, but fortunately, they have three women who look identical.
Yeah, and they wouldn't need her, but Reggie falls off the damn roof and like ends up in a boot and a sling and a neck brace. He says it's just a sprain, but I don't believe him. That sounds like a lot. And so, yeah, now they have to call in reinforcements because somebody has to do the lasers and someone has to distract Hunter. And this is where I was like, well, why can't Stacey do it? But I'm assuming Stacey's just not polished enough.
I think that that's part of it, but I also think as much as Stacey wants them to get the Star of Peace back, she also just like, she's like, I don't fuck with Fiona. I'm sorry. Like, I just don't. Yeah,
I don't like her.
She's like, I don't like her, and I'm not gonna pretend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the queen proposes, and you're not saying what I think you're saying, your royal highness.
You promised you'd never switch again. Mm-hmm. Because after every time they switch, they promise that they'll never do it again, but somehow something comes up.
Fiona's like, shenanigans. You could never be me. You could never.
You don't have
what it takes.
The je ne sais quoi that it takes to be Fiona the baddest.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Fiona has the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, and the other girls do not have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're not giving what she gives, and it's fair.
Well, and this is why they needed to make Prince Kevin leave, because I think that he would have probably been like, could you just be Fiona all the time?
Listen, he asked, do you still have those red shoes?
Yeah.
But he's just blind, a red-blooded American man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, like, I didn't even know you could do this. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing is it's like, for some reason, we're to believe that Stacey and Margaret have never worn, like, more than, like, a kitten heel, and so they just, like, can't function as humans, which I reject the premise completely, because they are, like, maybe Stacey has done less, but, like, Margaret's a fancy lady, and You learn how to walk in friggin' heels. You just do. It's like, it's part of life. I know there's some people out there, you're still struggling with walking in heels, and I'm there for you. You just got to practice. It's not that hard. You just go toe, heel, toe, heel. Take your time. You'll be fine. Just practice.
Okay.
Yep.
No, because I'm that person who's like, oh yeah, I'm going to wear the 5-inch heels all night long. And then I'm like dying, but I refuse to take off my shoes.
So
that's me.
We have two Fionas now, as that's right. Queen Margaret has become Fiona. And so this plan is starting to come together, Chappella. This plan just might work.
Yeah, but they have to teach her how to become Fiona. Like, you have to teach the essence of Fiona. You know, have to teach her to walk. You have to teach her to talk. And Margaret, she picks it up very quickly. Like, Queen Maggie is like, no, I got the Fiona attitude. That's something that you can't miss it with her, because she is extra. But she does need some updates. She needs to be keyed up on, like, okay, here's the backstory between me and Hunter. You need to know these things. I like a good candy cane martini. Also, he's going to want to tangle with you. So if you haven't done that before, it's time to get in the stirrups and practice that too.
And we get Vanessa Hudgens tangling with Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes. The Vanessa Hudgenses are tangling together. It was a good cinematic.
How did they even do that?
It's amazing. How was she there in two different places, Kirsten? How did it work?
I mean, I think that the only answer is that maybe there's actually multiple Vanessa Hudgens.
They cloned her.
They cloned her. Yeah, absolutely. That's 100% it. There were no stunt doubles. And then they kill one of them. Oh my God.
Why just one? There's three of them in this movie.
I guess then they killed two of them at the end of the movie.
Did they kill any of them? Maybe it was just magic. It's Christmas, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a Christmas miracle. Do you think
Vanessa Hudgens wants two more Vanessa Hudgens walking around after this movie?
I mean, I think that
she's a very specific type. She's not going to want to compete with herself.
I think sometimes she says things and she would like another Vanessa Hudgens to take the heat.
So do you think that maybe that there is a woman out there who is a Vanessa Hudgens lookalike who sometimes will, when things are too hectic in Vanessa Hudgens' schedule, Vanessa Hudgens can sort of like duck out, live like a normie, and then this woman could take over for her.
Yeah, and she's grateful to do it because the rest of the time she's locked in the basement. So she's happy just to get outside.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe like Vanessa Hudgens has like a compound where she keeps the other clones like locked up until they make another Princess Switch movie.
I mean, it's better than murdering them. Like, that's the true. Way that Rob was just like, yeah, they kill them. And Chappelle was like, yeah, but why only kill one? Like, both of you are sick. Mm-hmm. Absolutely sick.
Can't just let these clones run free. You got to dispose of them when you have the chance.
Yeah. Oh my God. Chappelle, did you watch that show that was with Paul Rudd that was on Netflix that was like where he has like had a clone?
What was,
no.
that was the other?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if they made it. I think they only made one season of that.
But living with yourself. Yeah, living with yourself.
It's like you went to a place where it was like, oh, we're gonna like we fix your DNA, and then you go there, and then they sort of like and then you feel great, but it turns out that they clone a new version of you and just kill the original you. But they didn't kill the first Paul Rudd all the way, and then so there's two of them.
How do you partially kill someone?
I think they left him for dead, but he wasn't dead.
Mm,
and they both like went back. Yeah, and they both like, hey, this is my house. What are you doing here?
Like, if I've learned anything from media, it's that if you want to kill someone, you need to go for that headshot and make sure they die. Mm-hmm.
Double tap.
Mm-hmm. Double tap.
That's one of the rules. Mm-hmm. Double tap.
That got really dark, guys. Sorry for ruining the holiday cheer.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. Rob was the one who took us to murder.
That
it's
was
fine.
The part of the script that I was a little unsure about, but you know.
We tried to make it, but you wouldn't listen.
I literally, if you would just turn on track changes, Rob, you'd see all of the adjustments I made to the script where I thought I could really punch it up and make it better. And you said, no, I know everything.
Yeah, look, that's just part of the creative process. Like, it makes me it takes me out of it to get so many notes right before the podcast. Yeah. Like, if you have revisions, like, I would just like if you could get them to me by Friday.
Okay. Well, I just think that you should open up the writer's room. That's all. I'd be happy to be on the staff.
Okay. Well, we could talk about it. We're definitely off script now. Okay. So this is also when Peter is like, hey, like we should do something, and Fiona's like, well, I don't make plans past lunch, and he's like, see, this is what you always do. You're just like your mom. Here. Oh, double tap.
Ooh. Yeah. Right.
Now fate, literally fatality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poor woman. She was
bringing out attachment theory, and you cannot stop me.
Right. You can't just hit somebody with that, especially a 7. You can't just be like, you are running from your feelings because yes, the hell. Yeah, of course I am. But you don't get to say that to me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, sir.
Like, yeah, that's between me and God.
Exactly. Mind your damn business, Peter. I was out on Peter at this point. Like, Fiona, we're dumping him. We're not with him anymore.
We hate him as a family.
We hate him as a family. all the Ann Hutchinsons and Chappelle hate Peter at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just stick to business. All right.
Yeah, yeah. They have a very important mission. They have a heist to do. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A heist.
Peter's goal is different, though. He wants to connect with her, and he also wants her to connect with her mom, and it's clear, and it's annoying, and I don't like it. But yeah, so while this is happening, this is the first time we see her be cold to Peter. You know, like, the chemistry is gone. Like, she's completely shut him out. And this is when the Margaret and I guess Margaret runs off with them, and then the nuns are calling to speak to Stacy because they're trying to get Margaret on the phone. Because apparently the disciplinary hearing that Fiona was supposed to go to on December 26th has been moved up to, what, the 23rd or
something? Yeah, I'm assuming either the 23rd or Christmas Eve itself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, listen, we need her back here. And so she's like, oh, I don't know. And they're like, please, like, if she's gone, I could go to jail. Like, the nun could go to real jail instead of being, like, the head guard at nun jail. So she's like, please. And so then... she like looks at Edward, and Edward's like, no, you promised you'd never do this again. And she's like, but I kind of have to. And then she just like instantly gets it. Like, she didn't have any of the training to be Fiona. I don't know how they have so many blonde wigs lying around.
Yeah, but they can't get a smaller dog than a Great Dane.
Well, yeah, they have a wig tree, not a poodle tree.
Fiona wigs.
But, and then that's the thing too that's interesting, that Fiona even has long blonde hair again, because last time she literally cut and dyed her hair to be Margaret for the coronation. Like, she did not wear a wig, she committed. So she must have some wild extensions going on, or maybe just wears a wig all of the time.
Yeah, these wigs are just laying around for the Fiona cosplay, you know. So yeah, they're never giving them back, you know.
I might be Fiona Pembroke for Halloween next year. Like, that was a sick costume.
Be a big hit.
Yeah, that'd be great. Everyone would definitely know what I was.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, 100%. All the people on the Reddit, for sure. We hype you up.
I'm not making a Reddit. Oh my God. Reddit does not like me, okay?
Protect your peace.
Mm-hmm. I choose not to go there for that very reason. Yeah, I want to protect my star of peace. Mm.
So we have our disciplinary hearing that goes on. And Chappelle, as you pointed out, I thought this was really one of the highlights of the movie, where that we had Stacy getting to play Fiona. I liked when they said, you are incredibly late. She's like, no, I'm fashionably late.
She's laying it on thick, but it was believable.
Rob, do you have a Fiona impression? Are you able to do that accent?
No, I couldn't do it. No.
Like, I'm like trying to get into it. Like, oh, I'm fashionably late. Yeah, oh, yeah. Darling.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Maggie Moo.
Yeah, I guess it's a little basic.
Don't call Vanessa Hudgens basic.
No, I'm just saying the Fiona impression is a little basic.
But they
Fiona impression? How dare you?
Yes. Oh, no, not Kirsten. Gotcha. The actual Fiona. The actual Fiona.
Okay.
And then Queen Margaret is a little bit like, well, actually, I'm like, you know, it's
very prim and proper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She doesn't loosen up like Fiona. But yeah, the disciplinary hearing is one of my favorite parts, because you see, Edward is like, you know, I was the one that had to deal with all of this. And so I am her character witness. And I think that we should probably reconsider her sentence. And Stacy is like, or I'm the one who got kidnapped. So maybe lock me up.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing too, where it's like, oh yeah, Edward, but your wife was kidnapped, and it's like, yeah, the wife, not Edward. Edward wasn't locked in a room. Edward just got to go rescue his wife. Like,
yeah. And what if they take her right from the, like, you're right. Like, we're taking, like, throw her in the brig. I was like, wait, no, now you locked up the wrong person.
Well, and I think that is his concern. I think that's why he's like, I just want this to be over with. I want to be able to leave together tonight to make sure that there is nothing that could get in the way of our adorable Christmas together.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, Stacey is like, no, this bitch kidnapped me and locked me in a room. And I just think that she should face like a harsher consequences for this. Mm-hmm. Like she has a real crime and punishment view, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Stacey's like, throw me in jail and we can switch me out later on. But somebody has to be in prison for this because I'm not okay. So I like that. That was one of my favorite parts.
Okay. So, meanwhile, Queen Margaret is going to the party as Fiona, and she has to go hang out with Hunter. And so, Hunter immediately sees Margaret as Fiona and takes her to go see his tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wants to show her his tree. It's totally normal behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's asking about Peter Maxwell still. Like, he's still concerned about the other guys. Like, so, just to be clear, you don't have a thing with Peter Maxwell. And Margaret, right on cue, is like, that troll? Excuse me? Mm-hmm. I would never. She knows the game. Yeah,
she knew what to say.
That disgusting troll.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Now, how's this, Chappelle? That Hunter, he wants pleasure before business. He doesn't even want to talk about the purchase of her state.
Mm-hmm. He's like, look, we got things to do. And so he dips out, and I'm like, where is he going? Mm-hmm. But
he's preparing for their time alone.
Yeah, he had to go get the things, and he goes and reaches in his drawer, and that's where he finds, I guess, another jewel that he's been stealing. Yes. You know, the Hunter's backstory is that he likes to steal because.
It's
this whole,
I mean, normally I would say it's the feminine urge to gather, but I guess that he has the masculine urge to gather. Yes. I don't know.
Blame this on the feminine urge to gather.
We'll get his backstory maybe at some point where maybe like then he didn't get any Christmas presents when he was a kid.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Princess Switch 4, where it's actually Hunter falling in love with a fourth Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh.
I would watch it. I would watch it. And then Fiona, and then he's like trying to make Fiona jealous, but Fiona's like, I'm in love with Peter. Like, get away from me, you freak, you bridge dweller.
Yeah. So meanwhile, while this is all going on, then Fiona is actually with Peter going and breaking and entering and getting in, and they're looking for some sort of the secret keypad to open the compartment to the laser room. But just as they're going through the bookcase, here comes Hunter. They have to duck under a desk. Chappelle, how big is Hunter's desk that two grown adults can fit underneath it?
Big ass desk. You know, they got in there tight. And he narrowly missed him. You know, that's where he was going to go get those other jewels that he stole. So it was a close call for the two of them.
And Peter and Fiona had to get real close under the desk.
Real
and
close.
I think there was some tension there.
Mm-hmm. It's starting to come back to him. You know,
it's boiling to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right. That Hunter walks out. They find the keypad and they're trying to figure out what it is. And eventually, they're going to figure out that it is Fiona's birthday.
Yeah. And that's when Peter is like, all right, I'm sick of this guy. like this, if there wasn't already a rivalry, like now the gauntlet has been thrown.
She said she made quite the impression.
Mm-hmm. In her steamy, you know, not the relationship, but just in the steamy. I'm like, okay.
She knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate that from her.
Yeah. So Hunter, he gives the bracelet to Fiona, actually Queen Margaret, and says, wait, hold on, I've got to get earrings too. But just then the band starts to play the tango, Kirsten, and we have Queen Margaret tangoing with Hunter. Now, we never really got a response from Prince Henry about how he felt about this.
Listen, they had to tango.
Yeah.
And it was a very elaborate.
It takes two to tango.
It takes two.
It takes two is a different movie. Yep.
Or the same movie.
Yeah.
But like that was like a very like choreographed tango. Like how many times have they tangoed before that they knew to prepare Margaret for like all these lifts and rolls and over and under and oh my God.
Yeah. It's you have to have a strong frame. And Hunter said, oh, no, baby, I got the strongest frame. OK, like I ain't Peter, you know. And so they tango around. It's hot. It's a steamy one. Like it's Fiona-esque. She does what needs to be done here to the point where he's like, all right, let's go upstairs so I can show you where them earrings is at. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's a married woman.
Well, but he doesn't know that. And yeah, that is here. And that is when the alarm goes off when they take the. Star of Peace off of its little like stand.
Yes.
And so he gets distracted by the alarm and Margaret's like, I'm gonna do what needs to be done. And she lays one on him.
Whoa.
She yeah. cheated on Kevin.
It was method acting is what it was. You know, yes, she had to get into
Jeremy
the role.
Strong of the Princess Switch universe.
But now this to me is very suspicious because at the end of the movie is when she goes to kiss Kevin to prove that it's her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if she is able to kiss Hunter and Hunter is unable to distinguish between the kisses he had with Fiona and the kisses that he has now with Margaret, the math is not mathing.
She was kissing Kevin as no. She was kissing Kevin as Queen Margaret, but she was kissing Hunter as Fiona.
So did Fiona have to do like a lesson and be like, change how you kiss?
No, because that scene
would cut that out. Yeah,
that would have been on r/Vanessa Hudgens.
Why and it's that not out the movie?
Yeah,
I gotta sit through this, but I can't see that. Okay,
it just doesn't add up. You know that it would be able to convince Hunter and convince Kevin. You know,
kiss him like she kisses her husband. That's what it is. Like she kissed him, she laid a good kiss on him. But when she kisses Kevin, she just does a little different.
She triangulated like, okay, this is how Fiona talks. This is how Fiona moves. This is how Fiona walks. Okay, this must be how Fiona kisses.
Mm-hmm. She took a gamble, I guess, and it paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and even if it was like a little bit off, like I don't think.
I guess
he's so hot for Fiona, he wouldn't even know. Honestly, just the fact that she was looking at him had the man quake, like quivering. He was ready to risk it all.
She could have shook his hand.
Yeah. He would have thrown it all away for.
He was ready. Okay.
Well, I think shaking his hand is probably what Fiona did back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh,
that's how she made an impression on him.
It might
firm handshake. Yeah.
This is all happening at the same time as the laser flirtation. So while they're doing the tango, Fiona and Peter are getting steamy in the laser grid, you know, in their own version of a tango.
Can I just say that Fiona with like the high pony in her like spy gear, just she's really killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Baddie.
Yeah.
A baddie.
So as Kirsten mentioned, they end up taking the Star of Peace off its pedestal. And then sets off the alarm and then almost like shades of like Raiders of the Lost Ark that they needed to replace it with something else. Chappelle, how did like a set of pliers equal the weight of the Star of Peace?
It's all she had. OK, mm-hmm. We just had to go with it. And it wasn't perfect because eventually the alarm does go off regardless. You know, like it's not a perfect fit, but it did. Well, it did tilt the scales.
No, but the alarm starts going off again because the guard Mindy turns off the loop of the security and the actual guards see that it's gone. Then they like trigger the alarm. So I have to believe that the Star of Peace, I mean, weighs about the same as the basketball, right? So
a basketball so heavy. Or pliers.
No. Yeah,
I feel like the pliers are probably heavier than a basketball.
Pliers heavier than a basketball? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Basketball's mostly air.
Yeah, pliers aren't that heavy.
Yeah, pliers are very light. I mean,
no, she's like rich people pliers. It's stronger than anything of us have ever had.
Iron pliers.
Iron pliers. Yeah. No, you're correct on that one. Yes. I definitely can't afford the pliers that she can afford.
Probably on this heist mission, they brought like the heaviest tools could take.
The weighted pliers, just in case.
I think that the Star of Peace is probably a lot lighter than we think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like made out of paper.
Jewels?
Yeah.
I don't think they're real jewels. I think that that's probably like, it's probably all a scam.
It's all for
paper mache, you know? Yeah. With like some cubic zirconia. Right.
So yes. Everybody like runs for it. The alarms are going off. Hunter gets into the trophy room and sees everything is gone, but there's a card. Peter Maxwell was here.
Ooh, the dramatics. Yep. And his henchmen are like, should we call the police? And he's like, obviously we can't call the police. We're criminals. Like, yeah, what's wrong with
fools.
You? Like, idiots.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Like, so dumb. Stupid idiots, truly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So everybody gets back to the castle as like, all right, we did it. We got it right here. You got the thing. Yes, of course. And then they open it up and wait, this isn't the Star of Peace. It's a basketball. We've been triple crossed, Chappelle.
Red notice. Mm-hmm. All y'all are on red notice right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this happened. They're all shocked. They're devastated. Well, actually, they don't look that upset. They look kind of like, well, you know, like, well,
I guess we'll we know who has it. It's fine.
Yeah, like they didn't steal it in the first place. They did the best investigative work to find it. And now it's like, well, we didn't succeed, but neither did Interpol. So it's not really our fault.
Yeah, it's fine.
And we know the guy who did it. It's cool. But Fiona is devastated because now she feels like this is the ultimate betrayal. They had gotten close to, you know, again in the laser grid, like things were getting steamy. She's known him his whole life. And here he is betraying her when all she's trying to do is something nice for somebody who she might have been unkind to one time, like by kidnapping and, you know, infiltrating and trying to trying her own insurrection on the government, you know. So she's just a little upset. The betrayal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So Queen Stacy welcomes back Brian. Or Kevin. Kevin.
I don't know where you've called him three different names.
Who
you've called
cares?
Him.
He's so replaceable.
It's so funny. No, I love this.
Who cares?
Yeah, he really did not bring truly anything to the table except for picking up his daughter. But yeah, imagine walking into the room and all three of them are dressed like Fiona and you're like, I was gone a day. What the hell did I miss?
Mm-hmm.
You promised we weren't going to do this again. Oh, my God.
Literally, you promised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but like you said, she lays the kiss on him. Margaret lays the kiss on him, and then it's clear, like, oh, okay, this is my wife, or at least she's just gonna take her word for it. He's like, oh, well, the other ones wouldn't have kissed me, so here we are. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I don't think you can bank on Fiona not kissing anyone.
Honestly, you can't bank on anything because there have been moments where Fiona has flirted with each of these men. And aside from Kevin, like Edward definitely had a moment where she meowed at him and he meowed back. I was like, what is that about?
She's
like, your wife is right there. He goes, meow. And I was like, your wife is right there. She's like, no respect. You have no respect for me. I was like, beat his ass.
Yeah, again, the bar is so low that Edward just like inched over that like he doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Appropriate behavior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Peter texts Fiona and says, come meet me at the boarding school. And then she goes back there as an adult to go see Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, you know, how it started, how it's going. Look at us now. We're back where we started.
He always intended on giving her back the Star of Peace, but he wanted to make sure she had a conversation with her mother because
mind your own business.
He's
stay
just
out of my life.
Good guy Peter, okay?
Yeah.
No, this is not a good guy move. This
no,
is
it's not.
Self-serving.
I think Peter might also be a one because he made his plan and he's sticking to it no matter what.
He's a sociopath. No, this guy. No, he realized a long time ago that she can never truly love me because she won't allow people. She won't let people in because she still got these walls up from when she was with her mom. So now I need to trick her by stealing this priceless thing and swapping
long
it out
con.
At the last second. Yeah, and getting her to come to the boarding school so she can meet with her mom so that she can let her in so then she can learn to let me in. So it seems like it's coming from a good place, but Peter is probably the real villain here.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle is identifying some real F-boy tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it when I see it.
So, Kirsten, we see that Fiona is going to meet with Mom, and Mom is ready to apologize for, like, hey, I screwed up.
She's like, yeah, your dad wasn't the best guy. And I was always trying to escape him. And I wasn't about escaping you. But obviously you were a child and you do not know.
I still have this card.
Yeah.
That card was in way too good a shape to have been done when Fiona was a child and carried around everywhere. She fished it out. Like, maybe it was in a box somewhere, but like, I don't believe she took that everywhere she goes.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
It wasn't even that great a card.
Yeah, kids actually aren't that good at drawing.
It was like Merry Christmas, Mommy, from Fiona. Like, it wasn't
coloring was a little bit outside the lines. Yeah. Yeah, not great. Kids are pretty bad at most things.
Mm-hmm. And she was like 10, right? I mean, it's not that great. But it was like, the writing was like all in cursive. Like, I don't even think a kid made this.
She went to fancy boarding school. She probably learned cursive in the first grade. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, there's some shenanigans here. We don't have to get into it. Yeah,
and so she leaves to go on her trip with her goons, but then as she gets to the car, she's like, no, I can't go. Let me run back into the school. But I guess her goons don't know how to drive, so they're just like trapped.
Yeah, they're just to stay there forever.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I guess we'll wait until she comes back.
We'll wait, and she just doesn't come back. They're like, it's getting pretty cold in this convertible.
Yeah, I'm sure that eventually then they came out together. They're not going to stay at the boarding school.
Yeah, but
kept the keys.
Presumably her mother got there somehow. I assume they took her ride.
Maybe Peter dropped her off.
Maybe in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so now the Cardinal is back. That we've got the Star of Peace. Mom is here. Fiona's here. Everybody's here.
Yeah, everybody's happy. They never even had to own up to losing the Star of Peace because they found it in time. They got it shined up. And it's just a happy ending.
Yeah. So why do they put the Star of Peace on? Like, what is so great about the Christmas tree of Montanero? Because it's the International Christmas Festival.
Well, they asked for it for the Christmas festival, and they were very grateful that the Vatican City said that they could use it because it doesn't get busted out very often.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for charity, Rob. You know, like,
it's for the orphans.
It's for the orphans.
For the orphans.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Star of Peace is at the top of the tree. Make out city for everybody.
Everybody makes out.
Everybody looks at the North Star.
Yeah, well, looking up at the North Star is the connection that Peter and Fiona have. When he was just a wee lad, he told her, whenever and wherever you need me, if you look up at the North Star, I will be there because I too will be looking up at the North Star. And so although they definitely did not connect, you know, she didn't love the thing that he did with the mom, and they basically called it off, their friendship, their whatever this was. Here he is. He appears at the last second, right when it's time for the movie to end, to say, look, I'm still here for you, baby. I got you. And that's when they kind of connect. And she says, I apologize. I too am sorry. The masculine urge to apologize. Mm-hmm. Fiona somehow embraced that.
The masculine urge to apologize, you demon. You have the masculine urge to lie like a freaking rug. Get out of town, masculine urge to apologize.
She somehow mustered the energy that she just never had before to admit her own faults and her involvement in this. And look at her owning up to things and being an adult. And they were able to embrace and finally share, you know, the kiss that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah. And they presumably will be together forever.
Yay.
Yeah. I have, after some conversations on Twitter with Sasha Joseph, I think I know what's going to happen for the next Princess Switch.
Why? Spoilers? Oh?
No, not spoilers. We just were talking
Fan theory.
So my theory is that the fourth one is going to be 1 year later, and it's going to be Peter and Fiona's wedding. And I think that Margaret and Stacey will both be pregnant at the same time. And there's going to have to be some sort of switch where Fiona has to wear a fake baby bump. And then I think at the end of the movie, Stacey and Margaret will have their babies, and their babies will look suspiciously alike.
Oh, you think that maybe they have the same dad? There'll be a
new generation of switches. No, because they're going to look the same. Oh, my God. No, Rob.
Continue. Go on, Rob. Yeah. How does this happen?
To be cucking in the princess. So
no one said anything about cucking.
Well, if the babies look exactly the same.
That means an affair could have happened. We didn't have to jump straight to cucking.
Yeah.
Gosh. Just out the gate like that? Jeez, Kirsten, what's wrong with you? Well, I was just going to say that
it's
maybe
10 a.m. on a Sunday. Mm-hmm.
And cucking is on your mind.
Yeah.
Go to church, woman.
No! It's on Rob's mind.
Yeah, I could definitely see it takes two, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, we got the babies mixed up type situation.
Yeah.
And then, like, we do another time jump and maybe Olivia is like, you know, teenage yeah. Olivia is babysitting the kids type okay. situation. Yeah. Start to realize, like, you act like your mom and you act like my aunt.
Yes.
Okay, here's my pitch for Princess Switch 4, okay? Have we met Queen Margaret's mom in the movies?
No.
Okay. Vanessa Hudgens now wears old makeup, plays the queen's mom. Although I guess she probably is dead.
Because she would still be the queen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, so yeah. The issue with Margaret becoming the queen, she was never supposed to become queen.
Yeah.
The king of Montenegro died.
Okay.
And then I guess she had a cousin who was supposed to become the king.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want to be king, and left. And then it went to her.
Right, so like, maybe we could have a mom.
So she could have a mom. Yeah. Yeah. She was never supposed to be in line for the throne.
It was like a Katie Holmes, like a This Is Us thing, right?
Yeah. Vanessa Hudgens in her later days or later years, as some people, Jeff Probst would say. Hey, you later days.
Are you talking about the Weekenders?
No. I think it was on Survivor when they said that Tiffany was in her later days, her later years.
Sorry, that's Mandy Moore on This Is Us. I apologize. Please don't drag me.
The queen. She has pennies in her pocket,
Rob.
Please don't do that.
This Is Us. I'm not emotionally equipped to handle that show at this time in my life. Mm, thank you.
Same. I heard a crock pot killed somebody, and I was like, I can't do it.
I know there's a lot of, there's some cancer and death, so not for me. Yeah. Not for me. I'll pass.
Not for us.
All right.
Not for us.
Princess Switch 3.
That's it.
Anything else?
I thank you so much for having me. I am so glad I got to come here and preach about the Princess Switch trilogy, movies that I unashamedly love. I love these movies. At the end of the first one, when they all got together, I cried. At the second one, when Kevin and Margaret got married at the airport by a priest, I cried. I love a nice, wholesome Christmas movie, and I will not apologize for that. And I think if anyone is embarrassed or feels shame for liking these Netflix holiday movies, please release yourself from that shame and just enjoy the holiday season and have some fun.
So I Googled real quick, Princess Switch fan theories. Here's one from TikTok. Some people are feeling like that the actor who played Prince Edward wasn't actually there and was green screened into all of his scenes. And he is standing up and the lighting seems off in all of his scenes.
Oh,
I think?
Believe it. He brings nothing to the table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think maybe it was like a COVID thing where they couldn't bring them all together? What was that about?
I know him.
From COVID?
What happened?
No, he played Gunner in Nashville.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I don't know this person at all.
Nashville was a fun... Oh. Actually, Chappelle, Nashville is one of the most unhinged shows ever. You'd really like it.
Oh, I've seen the first couple episodes. It used to come on after. It used to come on that same time frame.
Chappelle, can I tie in the month on Nothing But Netflix all together here in one tweet? Because another theory, fans are suggesting the Princess Switch sequel's Fiona is based off of a character in Selling Sunset. People think that Fiona is based off of Christine on Selling Sunset.
When was Selling Sunset season 1?
That's Christine is the baddie. We said this. Mm-hmm. We said it. We had, like, there's scientific proof that we said that.
Wait, season one came out in March of 2019. Princess Switch 2 came out in 2020. So it could be true.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Look at Asia and Geneva, their impact. They brought us here. It's the holidays. Look at the Christmas miracles that just happened. The magic of Christmas. Yes. Okay. Rob, you couldn't have scripted this even any better than you tried to.
Yes, I know. Again, my process once again stands on its own, Kirsten. Okay.
Wow.
It's fair. Yeah. It's fair.
It works.
Okay. Chappelle, what are we going to talk about next week?
I don't know. The holidays are officially not all the holidays, but the final Netflix of the year
coming up.
Well, yeah. We have to end this with a bang. We have an amazing guest here. We have to ask Kirsten, do you have any suggestions for our year end nothing but Netflix finale of 2021, I guess?
This is tough. Let's see what's new and popular.
Yes. Okay. May I suggest something? Okay.
Go ahead.
And I don't know how it would necessarily work as a podcast, but they did a thing last year called Death to 2020. It's back to do a Death to 2021. It's a Netflix special that's sort of a look back at the year that was, Chappelle. I'm sure they will talk about many of the pop culture stories.
Do y'all want to look back at 2021? You think it was good?
I mean, it could be funny.
It's a mockumentary talking about the year that is 2021.
There's a new season of Queer Eye coming next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's Crime Scene, the Times Square Killer.
Oh, no.
Oh, That's not for this.
A holiday film coming, 1,000 Miles from Christmas.
Okay. That one's coming. That could be good. Oh, I do think
Don't Look Up is the big one that's coming.
Don't Look Up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's Leo, Tyler Perry. I mean, that's Oscar buzz.
Emily in Paris season 2 is coming.
It's Emily in Paris. Mm-hmm. It rhymes. Yes. Don't be dumb. I mean,
Chappelle.
I've never seen it.
Let me give you this cast, okay? This is coming to Netflix next week.
Are we talking about Emily in Paris? Or are we talking about Don't Look Up?
Don't Look Up. Listen to this cast. Leo. Okay. Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, I believe it's actually with Cate Blanchett and Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, Tyler Perry, Timothy Chalamet, Ariana Grande, Michael Chiklis.
Okay. I mean, there's a star-studded cast.
Rated R.
Rated R. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not okay for nothing but...
Two astronomers
go on
podcast.
A media tour to warn humankind of a planet-killing comet hurtling toward the Earth. The response from a distracted world? Meh.
Oh. Mm. Well, that might hit closer to home
it's
than
a dark
than the
comedy.
Review of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be good. If you decide to do a Christmas one, I think Love Hard has a lot for you to
People
talk
are gonna
about.
Be over Christmas by then.
Yeah, well, but then, see, Christmas that's the problem, is Christmas you were like, specials. Oh, we're going to push Christmas, and now you get one thing, and...
We only need one.
No.
Yeah.
Christmas is this one is day
it.
Only.
I'm telling you, this is it. Don't Look Up, coming December 27th.
Well, I think Chappelle's got to get his ear to the streets.
Coming December something.
Coming on Friday. Which is
coming in
December
24th. 2024th, yeah. It was the 27th annual Critics' Choice nominee.
I will say this. Don't Look Up sounds like a great movie, and it sounds like it's going to be very popular. It's probably going to be number one on Netflix, knocking The Witcher out of the first spot. But it is the end of the year, and Death to 2021 does sound enticing. Because, I mean, when else do you get to do a year-end wrap-up of something?
All right, well...
That's true.
Yeah, I'm worried we could miss the boat with Don't Look Up. I think Don't Look Up is going to be a big thing.
Okay,
Let's see what people say. Yeah,
I think those are two good options. I do just want to draw attention to what will be coming in January of 2022. Hype House? Hype House is there, but there's a show coming out called The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window, which is the most unhinged name for anything, but it's Kristen Bell, and I watched a preview for it, and it actually looked very enjoyable. So just keep that in mind for end of January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that title, if nothing else, The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window Next Door. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, no, Rob, let's just make an executive decision right now. Let's, since you and Mike Bloom are probably going to do your Brent Steele to wrap up the end of the year anyway, we don't need to do multiple end of the year things.
Yeah.
You and Mike Bloom got it. I trust y'all. Last year, we left it in the hands of Brent Steele, and Quibi won the year. I was there. So this time, yeah, let's move on. Let's do the movie. Let's do
Don't Look Up.
Yeah, we'll be the first to cover it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boy.
Yes. It's the people are calling it offbeat, provocative, and witty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Chappelle, you're sending me like a disturbing messages.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I sent it to you and Kirsten at the same time. It's Stephen Fishback as a mime.
Yes. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. I should have warned you that it was a cursed photo, but
yes. I can't wait. This is going to be a meme. Like, this picture is, it's a meme.
Make it happen. You know what to do, internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Brian Scally. Get Brian Scally on the phone.
Kirsten Scally? McInnes, what's coming up for you?
Just finishing up covering the 5-episode Rivervale special event with Frail Mary over on Kowski
River
Cast.
Frail,
Cow
more
with
like,
a K.
Yeah.
It is pretty frail, you're right. Mm-hmm. But those 5 episodes were actually really fun. So even if people left the Riverdale universe, those 5 episodes are a fun special event. So we just finished covering that, as well as myself and Lindsay Wilson are still trucking through BoJack Horseman, and we covered the holiday special that aired between seasons 1 and 2 with Brian Scally. Will be coming out on Tuesday. We had a lot of fun, and we're going to finish the year with a year in review podcast about the first 4 seasons of BoJack. And I'm everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What, where we get up to all kinds of shenanigans.
Great job here today talking about The Princess Switch. This was very fun. Yes, that I'm glad we got to do it and fit it in for the holidays.
Finally, Chappelle was forced to podcast with you and I because he continues to try and avoid talking to me. Mm-hmm.
That is a lie, and you know it, and I don't have time to explain why.
No, it's facts. Anyways, Chappelle. Everyone tweet at Chappelle and tell him to stop hating on me.
Yes, at Chappelle. Then what's coming up for you this week, Chappelle?
All right, we're wrapping up a couple other things in my life. Never Have I Ever is coming to an end as far as the podcast with Sasha Joseph and I. We only have 2 more episodes of that to go, and then we are done until the summertime. When hopefully season 3 of Never Have I Ever is released, and we can talk about it then on Silent Podcast. So check that out if you're not a fan. And if you are a fan, you know, you've been following
along.
Keep listening.
Don't quit now.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so fun.
Yes, over on Post Show Recaps, we are also wrapping up Insecure on HBO. Myself, Mari Forth, and Latanya Starks, and our guest this week, hopefully, fingers crossed, Amon Adwin. We've been doing the legwork to get Amon on. We have not been able to lock him down because he's been busy with friends. And so this week, Amon is coming on the Insecure podcast on Post Show Recaps to talk about that with us. And so that's going to be a good time. So check that out. Should be released on Monday of this week. And then also I got to be on the RHAP B&B with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to that.
To talk about the foolishness that was the Survivor finale, all the things from the season that we didn't get to talk about, and the shenanigans and the great, amazing winner, Erica. And so that was a good time as well. And so if you want to keep up with me, you know, follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. And check out everything on Nothing But Netflix. I'll be here every week until Rob fires me like he did from The Rewind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fairness, I fired myself from The Rewind too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter when it comes from you. You did that to you.
And everyone
everyone
tweet at Chappelle's_show. Why don't you respect Kirsten?
It's all like right. She's mocking me, you know? Yeah.
All right, we're very excited to come back next week with some Oscar caliber films. Getting to talk about Leo here on nothing but Netflix next week. We talk about Don't Look Up. Don't forget to subscribe. Go to robswebsite.com/Netflix feed. Hit that subscribe button however you get your podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.